Now we have Don Barnard from Essex, who was in the general election in my ward here in Norwich South. Okay, thank you. Can we have a nice warm welcome for Don Barnard? Thanks. No, he's next, because he spoke in the morning.
I've had enough arguments this week, the second argument here, I'm sorry. Right, I don't know where to start. I think I'll start at the beginning. About 1985, before that, in 1979, I read a book called Options for Change, edited by Ed Logan. It was the first, now I think it was drug scope at the time, and I looked at it and I thought, hang on, this is a bollocks, this law. So I looked into it, I kept reading and thinking to myself, this is wrong, but I just couldn't be bothered to get out and do anything about it. What could I do? I was just an individual. And then, lo and behold, someone gave me a Jack Hura book. And I looked into that, and my head went so far up my bum, it almost choked me. I thought, this is absolutely ludicrous. And then, unbeknown to most people, I was growing cannabis for medicinal purposes, way back a long time ago. In 1994, I got a knock on the door. Well, I had few knock on the doors, but I got this knock on the door, and they found 5 cannabis plants in my garden. And I thought, ah, sod it. I did what lots of people in this room have done, and many campaigners out there. They said, you can't do this to me. I've got rights. So I went to my local paper, who I already had a contact because I was in the Labour Party, and said, I'm not having this, I'm innocent. Run a story for me. Not expecting it. Next day, I got in the papers, man's medicine, etc., and it took off. But again, I was in isolation. I just got a little bit of newspaper coverage, a bit of TV, and then I was forgotten, you know, cannabis back on the roll. And then I thought, I don't know, LCC was reformed. LCC, legal cannabis. And Alan's told you all about that. Thanks, Alan, you saved me a hell of a lot of trouble. So we now had a situation that I joined the CLCIA and fought within the CLCIA. I brought my personal problems to you, who were in it, and thought, collectively, we can work together. LCA, fortunately, fell onto hard grounds, intradation, and the loss of the Jack's Yard, where everybody had somewhere to meet, which I think is the most important thing. Anyway, it went, Jack, and then I got invited to join the Legalised Cannabis Alliance, and I thought, yeah, I'm a political animal, I'll have some of that. So I came in as a fundraiser, I think. Yeah, right, I'm a great fundraiser. I don't think I raised a penny, I'm terribly sorry. Anyway, they had a rehash up, and it was decided that, as I got a lot of gulp, that I should be the press officer. Now, the press officer's job is the messenger's job. I'm not important. I'm an executive member. I mean, sod all. Someone's got to fill the position. If anybody out there wants my position on the executive, put your hand up now. You can bloody well have it. It gives me more jip than I get from government and the antis. I don't look after the environmentalists. You don't do enough for me. You don't do me enough for the others. Well, I'm saying you quite clearly, and other people who are watching this, don't ask me to do it. Get off your ass and do it yourself. I am only the messenger. Kill the messenger and you start a war. Now, the situation is, as you're aware, when I joined, I decided, and I was fighting and talking to parliamentarians, Tories in 1994, excuse me, and eventually it was decided, one of the documents that I did many years ago, I think it was called You, the Jury and Drug Testing, which was a mick take out of Braintree District Council, which was sent to the Home Office. And we decided that at one time, I was talking to Alan, and we had an opportunity of putting a document into a government, official government meeting, and we jumped on it and produced a document called The Challenge. Now, anybody not read the challenge in here? Anybody not read the challenge in here? Right, so you'll know what it's all about, so I won't have to explain it to you then. But I will. Now, the challenge was designed specifically to get the government talking to cannabis users and cannabis users' representatives. Not just talking to the Illegalised Cannabis Alliance, but somebody had to take the first step. So we did it. We issued a challenge to the criminal justice system, and they declared war on Iraq so they didn't have to discuss it. We then went on and issued the challenge to the Scottish Parliament, the Welsh Parliament, and the challenge has been delivered to every drug action team via email, spam, I'm sorry, drug action teams if you're watching this, but they have all received it. One replied. And she turned round and said, like, basically, take me off your list. You know, I don't want to be there. I emailed back and said, I'm terribly sorry about the spam, but I thought you should know, because talking to Frank is not the same as Frank talking. She emailed me back and said, you should be working for Saatchi & Saatchi, which is an advertising agency. That lady and I get on like a house on fire now. House on fire. Because Huma broke the ice. So now, I've told you where I come from. I think I know where most of you come from. And I'd like to say a special thank you to one lady in this room, and Caroline Coons, who's there from the beginning with Release. And she's here today. Now, when you talk about it, we're getting grey. But unfortunately, as I said to Caroline earlier, she doesn't seem to get any older. Sorry to bring you in, Caroline. But the situation is, I went to meet Charles Clark. I suppose you're all waiting to hear what happened. Well, basically, the arrangement was a 30-minute meeting to discuss how we could work together in sorting this whole bloody problem out. I went there to speak on the challenge, and not to speak for any individual in this room. My whole objective was a messenger, to get him to speak to you. Now, as a result of this, I got a lot of jip. You don't talk for me. Alan said all that, so I won't bother with it. I don't want to talk for you. I want you to get out there and talk for yourselves. Anyway, back to Charles Clark. I arrived at Liverpool Street when he was in transit, and as I was getting onto the tube, the phone rings. It's Charles Clark's secretary. I'm sorry to bring this on you at the last minute, Don, but the meeting has been postponed. I said, what time now then? Oh, she said, it won't be today. I said, so it's cancelled. Well, no, it's postponed. So political language, you know, it's postponed. So I had a conversation with her. I don't know what I said. But basically, the bottom line was, I'm going to have a great fun with this in the media. Big Ears is not listening. Anyway, she said, I will cast your comments on to the Home Secretary, which I presume she did. And I went outside for a cigarette, so to speak, and a cup of tea. And I was sitting there and I thought, Winnie's on the way. I love the streetcar, I know what I'll do. When he gets there, I'll ring the paper up and we'll tell him we're going to smoke out the Home Office and have a joint outside. I haven't done that for years. And the phone rang. And it's Charles Clark's personal assistant. And she's going to hold the line on. The Home Secretary wants to talk to you. And I thought, well, what's going on? So he rings up, and I can only assume that I did say something wrong, which I couldn't remember. And he said, Don, I'm not trying to hide from you. I want to meet you, I want to talk to you, and I want to listen to you. However, I'd appreciate if you didn't. It wasn't abusive or rude to my secretary. I said, I'm sorry, Charles, but you know how it goes, and it wasn't. I will ring her up and apologise. Expecting, well, that's it. But no, he said, hang on a minute. And we had a conversation, which is private. And suddenly, out of the blue, he said, meet me at the Home Office at 4:20. I didn't know what to say. He said bye and he was gone. So I sat down. I thought, 10 minutes ago, there wasn't time for 10 minutes meeting, and suddenly we've now got an unscheduled 10 meetings. What brought on the change of heart? I can only assume it was my charm and charisma. Anyway, we arrived, and we walked in. Anybody want to grow some plants? That's the place, I'll tell you. It's full of glass, and it's lovely. Isn't it, Winston? It would make a room. Anyway, we arrived, and suddenly Charles comes puffing in from the House of Commons and rushed us straight into the room, and I was expecting an informal meeting, as Winnie was. And suddenly there was an entourage came in. A drug advisor, secretaries, there's six of them, and Charles. Clock. Anyway, I looked and I thought, ah, well, this time he who controls the words controls the debate. So I just went straight in. He did say he was going to listen to this. I can tell you, he didn't have a chance to speak much. But the bottom line was, I said to him quite clearly that we were there to represent the Legalised Cannabis Alliance in respect to the challenge, as no one person can possibly or organisation could possibly represent the feelings of you all. And this was accepted. I then thought to myself, 10 minutes, this is not a debate, so I said, let's cut the crap. Agreed. Charles Clark said, yeah, cut the crap, go for it. And I said, are you aware that I think it's the Ethics Committee in Europe, have agreed that it are having consultations on the citizens' involvement and in policy making? And he looked at his advisor, and his advisor said yes, and Charles said yes. I said then, all I can say, I said, I would now like to introduce you to a letter I have here, and some documentation from a European organisation called NCOD. We need to go into detail. But NCOD has been jointly involved with me in trying to get this meeting going, and they are one hell of an organisation. Now, in this letter from NCOD, it stated that the Home Office spokesperson had spoken to NCOD's delegates and said that the British government was up for involvement. So it put me on a win-win situation, him on a lose-lose. Because if he said, no, we're not up for it, then we could have argued only for cannabis users. Anyway, after a long discussion, they discovered who this guy was, and they said, yes, we agree that we are prepared to talk. And I think it went on. I then said, well, here we are. How can we help you? And we then had a discussion. And the bottom line was I covered areas like psychosis, in which I explained to him that he had 5 reports and we could produce many reports from peer review reports that might debunk and change the argument. Anyway, to cut the long story short, because I haven't brought any notes because I forgot them, it was that we agreed that, first of all, we must decide what to argue about before we start arguing. They fundamentally disagree with us. They say cannabis is harmful and must remain illegal. We say cannabis should be legalised. Now, after talks and discussions, Charles Clark, and I'm hoping that he's going to confirm and it wasn't political language, Charles Clark assured us that any documentation submitted to government in reference to the cannabis issue that affected him, he assured us that he would receive it, he would read it, but he would not give it priority over any other documents that are sent via the advisory committee. I sought clarification on it, I think, Winnie, and he said, I can assure you, I will receive it, and repeated himself. Now, during the discussions, and this is a bifrost, but that's the bottom line, we now meet him again on May the 3rd. The date is fixed for May the 3rd. Now, I've done the groundwork, and I can tell you quite honestly here, had that been the 30-minute meeting as arranged, That was my job done. Other things to do, other things to fight, and I was going to throw it to you and say, work on it. Unfortunately, my job is only partly done until the 30-minute meeting has been heard and dealt with. And then it will be up to the Legalized Cannabis Alliance to fight for their corner. And the Legalized Cannabis Alliance is you, 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 and you. If you've got something to say, you've now got a platform to say it from. Whether you agree with me, whether you agree with Legalized Cannabis Alliance policies or not, if you want an addendum put into any document that the Legalized Cannabis Alliance produces, whether it be or not, then all you've got to do is ask. I don't want to say your words anymore. I am fed up of reading in the paper, Don Barnard said this. Legalized Cannabis Press Officer said this. You know, I've got a list of about 30 people over the years who've said, I will be a spokesperson. I see one in this room that has definitely done what he said, and there are probably some in this room who've done your own thing. But I'm sorry, the way things are going, I need to move on. I need to move on because I'm now talking to other factions within government. And I cannot do press officer's job and do this at the same time. So basically you're hearing the beginning of what I would wanted to call this sad walk. Because I've loved the company, I will always be a member of the Legalized Cannabis Alliance. Unless they offer me the leader of the Tory parties, I might consider that. You know, but the thing is, I think I'm saying, and I'm waffling on a little bit, because I've not got this speech planned. I'm talking from the heart. And when I talk from the heart, and when you people talk from the heart, you make a lot of sense. When you want to be me, or you want to be somebody else, or if I ever want to be you, it doesn't come out the same. I don't know how many people have noticed in my statements in the press, on radio, on TV. I said that. You know why? Because you did say it. When I make a statement in the media, I don't make it on behalf of me. And you know out there who I'm talking to. I don't make it on behalf of me. If it says Don Barnard of the Legalized Cannabis Alliance said, you can guarantee it is somebody else's quote, like Steve Clements from Yorkshire, possibly something somebody said 5 years ago. I use your words, where possible, in a press release. Where it says Don Barnard said, I said it. And sod you if you don't like it, but that is me speaking. Because some people say things that I don't agree with. So this is a little bit of a gripe. This is a little bit of a wind-up. But it's certainly a G-up. After 20 years fighting this campaign, to the exclusion of a lot of people, including a 30-year marriage, it is time that we looked around, looked at ourselves in the mirror and say, fuck me, I never said that, did I? Because a lot of people are saying a lot of things that they don't know what they're talking about. So collectively, I look around this room and I'll be honest with you, with the exception of a few people for very personal reasons, which I can think of one young lady in particular who my heart goes out to, and people who cannot be sick, I will tell you now, I've got a lot of respect for the ones in this room, because you are here, and you are saying, I'm standing up to be counted. Now what I say is, I can't speak for 5 million cannabis users when I meet Charles Clark next time with the person who I will decide who will go with me. Right? But I'd like that 5 million to tell me what I'm supposed to say to him when I get there. So my bottom line is, unless you work, and I say work, and work together, we are going to lose this one. They are moving in, have moved in. The 2000 Drugs Act, Tive Drugs Act, I understand aggravation, has now been used for the first time on an activist who has been charged with aggravated offences for sending a plant to ministers in the House of Commons, and he has been charged with aggravation for publicity reasons. So how's about we all send a bud to the Home Office and see if they all do us for aggravated reasons? If you want to get out there on the street and fight the battle, do it. If you want to be into the politics area where I come from, then email me, because I need somebody to help me out, because I'm in a bloody hole. I hope that really is a waffle for you, because I'm sorry I had no intention of going where I went, but I'm sorry, I am getting very depressed in seeing inter-arguments, my way's the best way, your way won't work. No bloody way will work unless we all work together. And I hope that when you go away from here, you can say to people, I can hold my head up high, I showed up. Thank you very much. And sorry, but that wasn't a good speech, but basically, I said it as carefully as I could without upsetting anybody. Now, I have one final statement to make. And this is not to the Legalised Cannabis Alliance. This is to a person out there who feels that I have wronged him. I have apologised. You'll hear about it in the near future, paying members. I've apologised. I have unreservedly apologised. I have now been told it's a second-hand apology. So here, for your benefit, young man, I apologise. I am not afraid to say sorry. I hope there are a few people out there who've got the guts to do the same. Now, battle over, kill the messenger, you start the war. If you want to start a war, then all you do is kill yourselves. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Don.